Well, today is all about being prepared, and Advent is always about this idea of being prepared for Jesus to come on, to come again. And I wonder if you think about what that means, to be prepared. I had an experience about a month ago that was a first for me. Has anyone ever, get this, has anyone ever been on a spa day? Oh. I went on a spa day, and it's an extraordinary experience, because you go to this, I went to this place, and you walk in, and they give you a robe, like a white robe, and it's, I think it's a sort of a time-saving device, because you don't have to sort of use a towel. Is that what they're for? They're like, it's like a sort of terry toweling robe, and you put it on, and you can go for a swim, and then you just put the robe on, and you know, it saves time. Anyway, the trouble was, they were all, it was sort of one size fits all right? So whereas most people, the robe came down to here, mine was about here. And I was walking around in this robe, and I thought, well, I got used to it. I thought, it's all right, you know, as in Rome, there was only about two men in the entire building, but I was one of them. I thought, it's all right, it's fine. Anyway, part of the day, so you'd go for a swim and then, you know, have a sauna and that kind of thing. Part of the day was you had afternoon tea. So I just assumed it would be on the same part of the hotel that the spa was. They said, no, you have to go through to the hotel, to the, like, the restaurant area. I thought, well, I'm sure everyone is in robes, because... So out I went, and it would have been fine, except there was a wedding reception going on. So I walked out, and there I was. And let me tell you, there was one or two of the men on whom the humor was not lost. My went through and had afternoon tea, and the day ended, and I came home. But you know what it's like? It's like one of those dreams where you turn up late for an exam, or you know, you don't dress properly or whatever, and suddenly you're there. You're not ready. You're not prepared. It was like that, but it was real. And Advent is about being prepared, but it's about being prepared for when Jesus returns, and having that sense of being ready. Well, I want to look at Isaiah today. It's a bit unusual to look at the Old Testament reading, but that little passage from Isaiah that Rachel read to us. And it's a great book, Isaiah. In this particular part, in the first 12 chapters, it talks about how you know, God is wanting us to be holy. And a lot of it is really about judgment. In fact, a lot of the book of Isaiah is about judgment. It's broken into two sections. The first 34 chapters of Isaiah look up to when Israel will be exiled, and then the second half looks back from exile. It's quite sobering as a book to read. If you read it through the whole of Isaiah, you'll find, golly, it's quite sobering. But there's these little parts in Isaiah which are different. And this is one of those parts, these little five verses in chapter 2. One commentator that I read said it was like his "I have a dream" speech. You know Martin Luther King, when he has that speech, "I have a dream." This is like that "I have a dream" speech. It's actually probably a hymn that's been used in other places. So this almost exactly the same words appear in Micah chapter 4. So it's something that was obviously used. And it has some really profound things to say to us. And the first thing it talks about is the idea of the mountain of the Lord, going to the mountain of the Lord. It's in the Old Testament, whereas today we tend to think of spirituality within our own lives, as we, you know, God lives within us. In the Old Testament, it had more of a location, and it tended to focus on a mountain, a place that they called Zion. And that was sort of the center of God's purposes for the world. And so Isaiah talks about going to the mountain of the Lord. There's something about mountains, isn't there? If you see on the screen, this is the Hindu Kush mountain range in northern Pakistan. And I went there when I was about 19. I went on a walk with my dad into the Hindu Kush range. And we walked up past great big glaciers and slept in shepherd's huts. And we walked through, and you're sort of 15 or 16,000 feet. And when you're up in those kind of mountains, you just, whoever you are, there's something terribly moving and impressive about those mountains. There's something about them that's just awesome when you're up that high and it's that and that beautiful. And there is this idea in the Old Testament that God resides in that kind of special place, a place of beauty, a place of elevation. And in this reading, he talks about going up the mountain. In Advent, what we talk about is the kingdom of God coming. And it seems as though the Old Testament idea of going up the mountain and the New Testament idea of the kingdom of God coming are sort of linked. The two ideas are really the same idea. And there's something just awesome about that experience. And so Isaiah talks here about how we are to go to a new place. A new place, a bit like going up a mountain. I wonder what you, when you hear those words, I'm in a new place now, so-and-so's in a new place now, what that means to you. Well, there's something about not literally moving geographically, but moving in our lives emotionally, spiritually, and so on. And that is the idea here of what Isaiah is pointing out, that God is about taking us to a new place. And so I want to look at three different aspects of what that new place looks like from this reading in Isaiah. And the first thing that strikes me is that it is a place where we have time to worship. In the reading it says, we will go up to the house of the Lord. We will go to the house of the Lord. It's a place of spiritual seeking. And of course, in Jewish culture, that was about going to the temple or to the synagogue. Geographically, I suppose, it's about coming to church. Advent is a time of coming to church. And of course, that's what many people do in the week leading up to Christmas, particularly in that week. Last year, we had about 1,500 people worship in church right up to Christmas. That's a lot of people, if you think about how many that is. But it's about something else, isn't it? It's about a spiritual development that goes on of coming to a new place. And Advent has that idea of opening ourselves up to worship God in a totally new way. Because real worship is where we bring ourselves as we are before God and allow God's Holy Spirit to minister to us. A little bit like yesterday, as Richard was talking about the Alpha Day, about being ministered to. There's a connection between us as we absolutely are, warts and all, but also who God is. That is what worship is. And there is a challenge for us in our busy lives during Advent to carve out times for real worship. That is not just 5 minutes here or there, or not just racing into church and sitting down, or not just doing what we can, but actually putting time aside. Some of you might like to carve out a sort of retreat day where you go off, effectively go up the mountain, go somewhere where you can really spend some time with God. But each day we are called to actually have a time of quiet and a time of silence. That is what worship is. And it's under the strength of God's Spirit we learn to follow Jesus in a new way. Advent and worship are very, very closely connected. Secondly, it's a time of learning. A time of learning. In the passage we had from Isaiah, it said this. He will teach us to walk in his way so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion. It's a time where we learn, but in a particular way, we learn to walk in his paths, in the paths and the footprints of Jesus. In other words, it's very, very practical. Very practical. I've been thinking a lot about how Christians learn, what we call Christian formation, over the last 6 months. In my sabbatical, that was my main focus. And I've come to the conclusion that it's fundamentally practical. So if you consider two different kinds of learning, one is where you learn how to do a maths equation. Maths is primarily theoretical, isn't it? Some of you will say, yeah, I love maths. The other 80% of us will say, oh, I'm not so sure about that. But it's theory, isn't it? It's an abstract concept involving numbers and symbols and something that goes on. On the other hand, riding a bike is really practical. And I wonder if any of you can remember how you rode a bike, how you learned. Well, in my case, I was living in Pakistan. I was about 5 or 6. And I had this great big compound. We live on a big church compound with walls all the way around it. So I had a great, huge place that I could play. And I had this little tricycle. And I had a little seat in the back in case I wanted to take a passenger. And I got on my tricycle and I rode. And I would ride that little tricycle everywhere as a 4-year-old, 5-year-old. But then when I was about 6, I got given a big bike. And it was a proper bike. Not like a little, it was like a big one. Your feet couldn't touch the ground kind of size. And because there was really only one kind of bike there, and that was this sort of, the bigger bikes. And of course, what happened was I couldn't do it. So my dad, in this case, would sort of hold the bike, and I'd get on, and then he'd run along beside me, and at some point he'd let go. And I either could do it or couldn't. That's how it worked. And I was all right. I had the balance. And then suddenly, of course, then you came to the next challenge, which was how to turn a corner. You know that moment when you're learning to ride a bike, and you're like, oh my word, there's a wall coming up, and you have to learn to do it. Now, that idea of getting the bike, getting put on, supported, and then off you go and you learn to do it, is much closer to what Christian learning and formation is all about. It's very much like learning to ride a bike. As time went on, I went on, and a bike ended up being my mean of transport. When I was sort of university and into my first year of work, I didn't have a car, I just rode everywhere. And so it really became a part of my journey in my life. And that, in a sense, is what Christian learning is all about. But what I think is really interesting is that even our attitude towards learning in the broader world has changed over time. And so now they talk about things like an economy of knowledge. I don't know if you've ever, or the knowledge economy, and those sorts of words. Whereas once upon a time, learning was just about formation, about character. And there's been a sort of weird change where learning has become something that's not so much about necessarily just learning for its sake, but actually to fulfill a function in society. And what I want to suggest to you is the Christian understanding of learning is much more about the character of life. In other words, you're not learning here to become quote-unquote productive Christians. That is not the purpose of Christian learning. The purpose of Christian learning is to become people who reflect the values that God has and what Jesus wants us to do and the power of the Spirit. Those two things are actually quite different. I don't want you to become an SAS member of the church. It's all actually about your spiritual development, your character that we're focusing on. And that is the Advent idea of learning. That we're designed to be more like Jesus, and we prepare ourselves for when Jesus is going to return. And it goes on then to talk finally about how there is a sense in which Advent is a time where we prepare for justice and reconciliation and judgment. It's a time when God, in the words here, takes his place among the nations and sort of arbitrates between them. And one of the little phrases that we had in that reading was that we turn our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. You'll see on the screen on the left-hand side, that is the UN building, I think, in New York, or certainly outside it. That's the statue that's outside the UN from this verse. And so that is the idea of what Christian learning is all about. But it goes on to this idea that that God is a judge of justice. And in the world that we've been in recently, what we have, of course, is if you think about what's gone on, for example, in the last week, we've had lots of talk in the media about Islamophobia, and we've had lots of talk about discrimination against people who are Jewish, and then we've had the incident that took place in London yesterday. There's all this stuff going on. And at Advent time, God enters into it and says that actually God is a God of justice and of reconciliation, who calls us as Christians to draw people together in a very special way. And so what we have here is this idea that there's something new going on, that we prepare ourselves for Jesus to return. We prepare ourselves for those things, to be good worshipers, to spend time with God, to be people who are good learners, who are ready to learn about what God has for us, but also to be people who are agents of reconciliation, who want actually to see God working in us and through us in a very powerful and real way. Being a Christian is never about really just what's in it for me. There's always a bigger picture, a much broader picture about going out and being agents in the world. And it's an exciting place to be, that is what we're called to. Let's have a moment of quiet reflection on that now.